Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said life is like a mirror. We get the best results when we smile. We're happy again to have the privilege of coming your way with Bible Meditations. Please tell others about our program and invite them to listen to the program along with you. We return now to our study, and we're talking about the high price of a life of sin. There are some people who complain about how much it costs them to be a Christian, and they have the idea they have made great sacrifice in order to be a Christian. But have they ever considered the other side of the coin? Think about this. What is the price paid in living a life of sin? When you think about that, you have a greater issue. And I believe that as we look at the life of a man named Samson, we're able to see that's exactly the case. Samson was one of the judges of the children of Israel. He could have led the children of Israel in a great way, but he did what he should do militarily, but he lived a life of sin and dissipation. He turned away from God in regard to the manner of the conduct of his life. Did he pay a price? Well, indeed he did. The 16th chapter of the book of Judges pictures Samson in the midst of a crowd of Philistines, his arch enemies, and they're having a good time. They're laughing and delighting at the crippled condition he's in. They've put his eyes out. He's lost his sight. And, of course, they're making fun, humiliating him. Well, Samson paid a great price, didn't he? But as we have looked already, we noted the fact that sin cost him his sight, whereas there are some today blinded by Satan because sin takes their sight. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them. The point is, the God of this world, that is Satan, blinds their eyes till they cannot see. There are people who do not see that God exists, even though the evidence is everywhere. The psalmist David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalms 19 and verse 1. Again, with David we agree when he said in chapter 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Roman letter, chapter 1 and verse 28, suggests to us that there is evidence of God everywhere. The invisible things are clearly seen by those things that are made. The fact that we have order in the universe is very clear evidence that God does exist. But someone has blinded the eyes of people when they cannot see that evidence. They sometimes are blinded to the consequence of their sin. They get the idea that sin is not going to have its day of reward. Imagine the wages of sin is death. That is the price paid for a life of sin. Can't you imagine someone stepping before the Lord in judgment day, saying that they had lived a life of sin, but they didn't want the wages. They didn't want the price that was involved in a life of sin. So some have lost their sight in regard to the way that sin takes over a person's life. Sin affects his life, and it affects those who are round about them. When I hear someone say, well, it's my business, and I don't tell other people how to live, and they don't need to tell me how to live. Well, I remember this passage, Romans 14 and verse 7. No man liveth unto himself or dieth unto himself. Now, you look about you and you know there are people that you influence either for good or for bad. There are those of your family, your companion, your children, grandchildren, those who are your immediate family, but also those with whom you work, All of the people about us are affected one way or the other by our influence. It's very simple to say, I'll do what I want to and I don't influence anyone, but it just isn't true. We may blind ourselves to the fact that sometimes our companions are led in the wrong direction because of our influence. Sometimes our children do things and are led in the wrong direction because of our influence, but we've blinded our eyes along that line. Another thing that happened to Samson was that sin cost him his freedom. He could do what he wanted to do before, but then he got himself so involved in sin that they lead him forth. Whatever they want him to do, they lead him in that direction. As we have mentioned, here's the group of Philistines who lead him in, and they laugh and humiliate him before all of them, because they have the ability to do that. Samson now no longer can determine where he will go or what he will do. His life is now in the control of other people, so it cost him his freedom. In verse 21, the record says, in regard to this particular matter, that Samson, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in their prison house. They were in control. Well, you know, it's like that with sin. The price we pay for a life of sin is to allow sin to become our master. Very interesting discussion was held between Jesus and the Jew of his day in John chapter 8. Jesus pointed out this: whoso committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. But after the Jews of that day heard him discuss sin, they came up with this situation. Why are you talking to us about sin? We are not in bondage to any man. And they indicate we never were in bondage to any man. Well, first of all, their statement is not true. And they knew very well it was not true. Go back through the Old Testament and read the history of the Jewish nation, and you read the history of a nation that had bondage from time to time, again and again. When they said, we never were in bondage to any man, they're ignoring the fact that the Assyrians carried them into captivity. They're ignoring the fact that the Babylonians had taken them away into captivity. They had experienced this, and yet they're saying to Jesus, you're talking about bondage, and we never were in bondage to any man. Jesus, of course, wasn't even talking about their past history. He was talking about the fact that sin gets hold of a man's life and controls him. Whoso committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. Now, there are people who say, I'm in control of my life. And they get to doing things that they ought not to be doing, and then they find very quickly they're not in control. The alcoholic says, I can take one drink and let it alone. Well, he takes the one drink, and then the second drink, and the next drink, and he keeps on until he can no longer control himself, and then he pleads, I'm an alcoholic. I can't control this. Who's controlling his life? That's not the only sin along that line, but it's one of those things that takes hold of a person's life, and it illustrates the fact that a man gives up his leadership and rulership of his own life and becomes a bondservant unto sin. Well, friends, that's a terrible price to pay, isn't it? So as we look at Samson, we look at a man who has to work for the Philistines because he has no choice. He has lost his ability to go and come as he wanted to. He is their bondservant. You look at a man who commits sin, he's the bondservant of sin. He no longer comes and goes as he wants, but he fulfills the desires of Satan. We appreciate being with you today. Hope you'll listen again tomorrow. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.